Welcome to Thrive Radio, expert visionary and innovative business, life, and relationship advice to live a life of doing the impossible with your host, Amy Montgomery.
This is episode number 20 with Little Voice Big Business. Welcome to Thrive Radio. I'm your host, Amy Montgomery, entrepreneur and business coach, and I've decided to bring on other successful entrepreneurs to share their story and how they're helping others to do the impossible. Today, my guest is Nadia Finer. She's a speaker, business coach, author, and she's helping business owners embrace every aspect of themselves, both what they love and what they don't, to connect emotionally with their work and unleash their bigness in their business. Welcome, Nadia, to the show.
Hey there. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on. And you have an amazing book on how to grow a business and increase your profits, go global in your pajamas. And it's called Little Me Big Business. And you have been able to help entrepreneurs create the businesses of their dreams. But you had to walk through that process first.
Oh, yes, I sure did. Before I became a business coach, I had some considerable amount of experience working in corporate, in consultancy, and then I set up my own business. I've had two or three businesses before I became a coach, but I would say that it's been as a coach that I've learned the most about running a business and embracing who you really are.
So what I love about your story is that you took what you felt was a weakness and that others may have judged you for, and you've incorporated into your brand. Can you share some of your story with us and how you started to help others do the same thing?
Yes, of course. I'll start a few years ago when I first realized there was something a bit funny about my voice. I was about 15 and I was in a French lesson at school. We were in the language laboratory and I'd put this headset on and there was a cassette machine. So now you know I'm really old because there was cassettes. And we had to talk about a movie that we had seen in French. And I did. And I was like, blah, 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 in French. And then you hit play and listened back to yourself. And that was the first time I'd really heard my voice, like my disembodied voice. And I got a shock. I thought it was somebody else speaking at first. I thought there'd been a mistake and somehow I was listening to some little kid talking. And at that moment, like the bottom of my world kind of fell out because I didn't really understand what was going on. And then it suddenly hit me and I realized, oh my goodness, that's me. That kid talking is me. I sound so young. And I realized that that wasn't normal, that I sounded funny. And I almost couldn't imagine how I'd got through life until that point with no one really mentioning it. And how did I not notice? And I thought, well, if I've got this thing about me that's a bit funny and I'm fairly sure people are going to laugh at me and mock me, then I better hide. So I kind of hid myself away, not literally, obviously, but from then on, I faded away into the background and I kept myself small deliberately. So I didn't do things that would make me visible. So I wouldn't ring people that I didn't know on the phone. I wouldn't be in a play. I remember one time I won a prize and I didn't collect it because I didn't want to go on the stage. So stuff like that. And it built. And then by the time I was a grown up, it affected my confidence. You know, it affected me professionally. People would comment on my voice. They still do today. People ring my house. They ask to speak to my mum. I am the mum in our house. What are you talking about? People comment. The other day, some guy pulled me to one side and said that he thought I should do cartoon voiceover work, which honestly, that the number of times people have said that, always men have said that to me, but, you know, probably about 50 times in my life. They think it's hilarious and nobody's ever said it before. So it kind of affects your confidence. And professionally, I used to get shipped off to elocution lessons by managers trying to get me more gravitas. They'd make comments and stuff. And then when I left the corporate world and I set up my own business, I was fine. It was all okay. And I had a new idea. I set that up. It was a PR service. And I think by that point, I felt like I needed someone who was louder than me, who was more confident, more kind of brash and ballsy than me. And so I brought someone in to be a business partner with me, and it didn't go well because essentially I kind of subconsciously tried to just hide behind this person so she could be, you know, the loud face of the business and I'd just get on with it in the background. But ultimately we fell out. She became a bit of a bully, and so things went down the drain fairly quickly. And long, long story, but eventually after basically drowning myself in ice cream, I decided to get on with growing a business all by myself that would embrace who I really was. And rather than trying to hide or pretend to be something that I wasn't, I would go all in and face up to my fears and create a personal brand that harnessed the thing about me. I came to that realization. It wasn't entirely straightforward to make it happen. A thought came into my head about a quote I'd heard, which was by Joseph Campbell, and he said that the cave in which you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. And when I heard that quote, I realized that for me, the cave was my voice. And if I could embrace my voice and be honest and open about it, then great things would happen. And so from there, I created my Little Voice Big Business brand. It's the name of my company, it's the name of my podcast, and I would be honest about my voice because there's not really much you can do to escape it and people notice it, so you might as well acknowledge it. And I think that since I've been honest about it and shared my story of how I've come to terms with my insecurities and actually tried to turn it to my advantage, it's really helped my business because I've attracted people that resonate with the idea of being little, feeling small, lacking in confidence, and they feel like it's good to hear from somebody who gets them, you know, and who has overcome it.
Definitely. And I think that even our own conversations when we first met, you have definitely encouraged me as well.
Oh.
And yeah. And I mean, that's a testament to just the impact that you have. I mean, I love your story and I love what you do. So in walking through this journey now, what are you grateful for?
I'm really grateful for the work that I get to do, that I get to every day work with clients who I love, doing work that I enjoy. So it doesn't feel like work as such. It's a pleasure. I love the fact that I get to be creative in my work so I can come up with ideas for new things and make them happen. I'm not kind of a slave to process or other people's agendas. I can just be fairly free to do what I want, which makes me really happy. I'm also really grateful that I get to create a business that's scaled. So by that, I mean, I run a little big business. So I'm just me by myself. Well, the dog under the desk, often in my pajamas, but I work with people all over the world. I'll be talking to someone in New Zealand or America or Canada, the UK, all over. And it's just me. And I find that amazing that it's so big and yet it's so small. It's so straightforward. And I don't have to pretend to be something I'm not ever. I'm completely me. And when I open my mouth, what I say, like the content of what I say is me, and the way I say it and my voice is me. I don't have to kind of filter things or pretend to be all fancy because I'm not. You know, that's just painful. So I just get to be myself, and I feel it's very freeing actually. And because it's so leveraged, I have so much time to do other things as well. So I get to spend a lot of time with my son. I get to go to the gym and see my friends. And I just feel like it's so amazing to be able to work like that. It almost doesn't feel real, you know, that it's possible to do that.
With your coaching business, what's been your intention in building it as far as the impact that you want to have?
That's a really good question. I think there's three things, actually. Firstly, I want to show people that it's possible to scale up in a way that works for you. Often we are sold this vision of success, but it belongs to other people. It's their idea. So they talk about the number of figures they'd like to make or the kind of things they want to buy or the lifestyle they want. But actually, I want to show people that you can do it your way. If you don't want to do big launches, don't do them. If you hate being on video, I would encourage you to overcome that, but you don't have to do it. You know, everything is negotiable. Everything can be done your own way, in a way that you enjoy, that suits you and fits around your life. So for me, that means I like working from home. I like to travel a bit, but I'm a homebody. And so I get to build a business that works for my life and my family and my lifestyle. So I want to show everyone that that is possible. I also feel that I want to help other women who feel little that they can go big. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be arrogant or full of it, as we say in the UK. You don't have to be full of it to go big. You can be shy or introverted or unassuming or just generally a little bit quiet. That's cool. And it's perfectly possible to scale and have a big business being like that. And I think that's a very good thing, because we don't all need to be the same. And finally, I think being yourself in business is so important. I remember when I worked for a big company a long, long time ago, my boss, who I didn't exactly see eye to eye with, she took me to one side and told me that I needed to have work Nadia and home Nadia, and that in order to get on, I would need to leave a part of my personality at the door and have this kind of sanitized professional version of myself. And obviously I couldn't do that because I'm a bit of a lunatic and it didn't work. And I don't want to be like that. I want to be myself. So I want to show people that you can be yourself and that the world is a richer, better, more interesting place if we are ourselves in business.
What is that about how some people just do that? Like they'll bring you aside and want to like suppress who you are. I actually had someone bring me aside and said, you know what? You need to stop smiling, stop being so happy, and be far more serious than you are. And I mean, yeah, we were talking about serious things, but I was happy. And that's who I am. You know, I'm just a happy person, and it drove them nuts. Like, apparently being happy is not professional.
Yeah, and I just find that unbelievable. So the brilliant thing about running your own business is you get to create something that is part of you, a reflection of you. It is you. It's so sad. Why do we then all try and be the same as each other? We all look around. I mean, I even did it when I first started out as a coach. I was like, oh God, maybe I need to be more like them. Look at them being all fancy and the way they're doing things. Oh, I need to be like that. And it just felt so uncomfortable. And for ages, I just kind of struggled with it. I couldn't understand who I was and who I should be in my business. And I didn't imagine for a moment that I could wear what I wanted, be surrounded by the things I want to be surrounded by, talk in the way I talk, you know, all that stuff, and create things that feel like me. I thought I had to make it acceptable that everybody else would go, oh yeah, that looks familiar. You don't want to look familiar. You want to be like yourself. And everyone goes, oh, that looks really unique and interesting. And she's speaking to me. That's what you want to create.
What are some ways we can begin to take action and overcome the fears that are holding us back from building the business that we desire?
Well, fear is an interesting thing, isn't it? I really think it's at the bottom of everything. It's the resistance in your chest when you try and do something big and scary, but it's also the reason that you're procrastinating. Ultimately, so many things, I believe, come down to fear. So for me, I've had to become more self-aware. As someone who's British, I'm not really very self-aware. We just get on with things. We don't think too much about our emotions and our feelings particularly. So I've had to start doing that a bit more and try and understand what am I scared of and keep asking myself why, you know, whether that's journaling around it or just sitting there thinking for a minute and really trying to understand what this is about. That's the first step. And I also try and recognise when I'm procrastinating. I'm good at recognising it now. It usually involves frequent visits to the fridge. It involves needlessly shopping for shoes. Like randomly deciding to do all the laundry. Stuff like that, which I'm thinking, why are we doing this? Oh, yeah, I see what's going on here. Just really trying to pull yourself up when you notice it. I try to reframe fear as excitement, which sounds corny, but I think when you're afraid, you get this kind of flight or fright? I can't remember the way around it is, but you basically, my body's saying, run for your life. Your adrenaline is rushing through you. Everything within you is telling you to do one and run off. I think if you can try and reframe that as excitement, that's a really positive step. So, for example, on Sunday, I'm doing a boxing fight. Now, I've recently got into boxing and this is my second fight and I'm really scared. I've tried to dig into the cause. I'm not entirely sure what it is that's scaring me yet. I've got some more thinking to do. I think it's about the number of people watching and the fear of, yeah, maybe humiliating myself in front of loads of people. And I'm trying to reframe the feeling that I have into excitement, because really it's adrenaline. My body's telling me not to do it. My body's saying, stay home, stay safe, you know? So I'm trying to embrace that and think of it in a good way. And actually, in the World Cup, I know that the England football team did that too. They were taught to reframe their fear. So that's a really good exercise. I reward myself. I'm a fan of rewards. And I think when you leave school and you're not in a business anymore, you don't get bonuses or prizes or gold stars, and it's a shame. So you should reward yourself with good stuff when you do well. And so when I overcome something or push past that procrastination or that fear, I take a break or I go to the gym or I buy myself something nice, you know, to recognise that I did it, because I think it's important to celebrate. Also, get help. I'm not talking about, well, not necessarily like therapy, but, you know, I have a power team around me. I have lots of people who help me with various things. So I have my own coach to help me with my fears. And when I procrastinate and get stuck, maybe fiddling around with tech, now I just get help with the tech. So I'm not likely to waste my time. And I think everyone needs a power team around them. And yet when you are running a business by yourself, you feel like it's a sign of weakness to admit that you might need help with something. And you're not actually a superhuman robot, are you? So it's perfectly reasonable to have people help you, and you'll get there much quicker if you have help rather than being really stubborn and just trying to do it all on your own.
When someone takes a look at what others oppose them for and they identify this supposed weakness, how can they begin to turn that into a strength in building their business?
I think the first step is to own it and talk about it. So for me, it's like the elephant in the room. When I used to give talks and I wouldn't really mention my voice, but say I was standing there doing a speaking gig, I could sort of see it in people's eyes. I mean, maybe I'm paranoid, but I could see them thinking, oh my God, she sounds funny. And I just want them to listen to what I'm saying, not be wondering about my voice. So for me, the first thing is acknowledging it and owning it and talk about it. If you're weak, I can't imagine what your weaknesses might be, but you know, if it's something you feel insecure about, start talking about it. Tell the story of how it's affected you and think about what you're going to do to overcome it, and it can become part of your journey. Now, if you think about a client, imagine they're at point A in their journey and you're at point B in your journey, or even at point C. So you're further along, right? And so if you think about clients, and the idea is that you're going to help your client get from point A to point B, you're further along already. So you need to tell them how you got there and the things that you overcame and how you did it. So if you hide from that stuff and you don't talk about it in an honest fashion, I feel like you're firstly not going to attract your kinds of people who are struggling with the things that you struggled with, because you're not telling them what they are, but also you're not being authentic, and you're kind of making out like the way you got to point C on your journey was magic. Like, you know, like you just woke up and suddenly you were reformed and you don't know how you got there, but all this money just started raining down from the sky onto your head and it was all just a miracle. You know, people firstly are not going to believe that, but secondly, it's not very helpful to make out like it just happened by magic. It's much better to share how it happened. So imagine you were trying to help people lose weight or get in shape, and you just stand there and you're like, look at me with my abs and my guns and my buns of steel. I'm awesome. And you know, 2 weeks ago, I didn't look like this, but now look at me now. And you don't really, you're not honest. You don't talk about the struggle. You don't talk about how you felt. You just make out like it was instantaneous. You'll get some people, some clients, but they won't stick around because they'll see through you. It's much more interesting to talk about maybe you were really paranoid after you had a baby, that you had like a wobbly tummy and you felt like you couldn't go to the gym, you'd never wear a bikini, it was your Achilles heel but on your tummy, and you talk honestly about how it affected your confidence, how it affected your life, your relationships, the things you could wear, etc., etc. And then you talk about how you overcame it and you share that with people, and it's much more interesting and you're more likely to attract people who are struggling with the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, man, look at me now. And everyone's like, ooh.
You know, I totally agree with that. And to add to what you were saying too, I think that with my own business, since I do help a lot of people with Amazon specifically, that the people that I would say do the same thing that I do, a lot of them do the, guess what? I'm a millionaire. And I did it in a week, you know? And when people ask me, you know, even today I had someone, they said, okay, so you have been able to be successful at this. What did you make in 2017? And like, how fast did you do this? And I'm like, well, it started out like $100 a week or a month. And it took a long time to even see that money come in. And just being really real with people, like, this is going to take some time and it takes work. And it's funny because there are some people that believe that you can do these things overnight. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I always try and tell people, don't buy my coaching if you think that you're going to win overnight, because that's not, I can't work with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very, very true. And I would say the other thing that you specifically helped me with was the fact that for a long time I had a podcast that I hid behind and just in many ways would try to hide my appearance. Because when I made an impact online through my podcast, nobody knew what I looked like. And two things happened. I went to a conference where a gal, she walked up to me and she said, "You're Amy Montgomery?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, but you changed my life. As in, your appearance does not match what I thought. And then I also had another guest on and he invited me to come hear him speak. And so I did. And I got there and he says, but But we had such a great connection on the podcast. What is wrong with my face, you know? And so I just tried to hide my appearance. And, you know, even in the corporate world, it was an issue. And I was always the girly girl and, you know, wear a lot of makeup and do all the stuff. And I just, no matter what I tried, I just didn't fit in. And finally, I think it was after I had a discussion with you, I just went out and did a full-on photo shoot.
Oh, good.
And put it all over all social media.
Good. You've got to own it. You, whatever you look like, you sound like, whatever it is, you can't hide away. Because I think, firstly, when people make comments, I think rude, number one. And who the hell do they think they are? There's always going to be people that make comments, whatever we do. So we almost just need to ignore it and forget it. Like no, I haven't considered doing cartoon voiceover work. Thank you. Like, irritating. So we just let that go. But how much freer do you feel now when you're yourself? It's just much easier, don't you think? And people can actually connect with you, because ultimately we're people connect with other people. We look into each other's eyes and we form a connection. It's not just through a disembodied voice. It's through eye contact. It's through seeing people and connecting on a deeper level to what they're saying. And if there's part of you that's hiding, it becomes just slightly harder to do that, or there's some sort of unease around it and people aren't always sure why they feel that. I remember my first book, I had one photograph of myself, which was from years before. I think I used it for about 10 years. It was just this one headshot, which I just used over and over again for everything. And that wasn't really the truth. After 10 years, I didn't actually look like that anymore. And also, it's just so superficial. It didn't really allow people to connect with my personality. And so by doing podcasts and videos and photos and being open and out there and just being yourself, it's much easier to attract your tribe, you know? If they're only seeing a tiny edited version of yourself, your one photo, or maybe even no photos, you're not going to make that connection. And I think it's just a shame, because you're doing all the work, but you're just missing out on a good chunk of it.
Yeah, I would do the selfies, but I would purposely make them not that great. And I would purposely do that on videos too. Like, I'm not going to do my hair that great or my makeup that great on purpose. Like, I would purposely downgrade my appearance.
Interesting. I mean, I'm not a therapist, but I think that's interesting that you did that.
It's a little bit my journey of finding my own confidence, I think. Once you get to the point where you realize that you're rejected no matter what, you know, mm-hmm. no matter what you do, there's going to be people out there that don't like you. And just finally, I just got to the point of, you know, I'm going to own who I am. This is who I am. I'm going to look the best that I can when I want to. If I don't, that's fine too. This is who I am. Deal with it.
And much better.
Yeah. And I mean, I do have people that have said that they oppose my photo or whatever it may be. And I'm like, well, I purposely put them out there so that the people that don't like them can leave me alone.
Whatever we do, not everyone's going to like us. I remember when I launched my podcast, the first episode of my podcast is about my story. And so I'm literally talking about my little voice, the podcast is Little Voice Big Business, right? Just for context. And this woman commented on Facebook that she thought my voice was put on and no one could possibly sound like that, and that she found it irritating.
It's like, then don't listen, right?
I know. You couldn't make it up, honestly. It was like, Okay, so you listened to the episode, didn't you? Like the one where I'm telling my story. It's like the only episode right now because it's just launched like 5 minutes ago, and you feel the need to say that. Okay, what kind of monster are you? And anyway, there was a big backlash on Facebook. It was cool, actually. Loads of people were like, listen to what she's saying, idiot. So whatever you do, the more honest you are, you'll attract your people. And you don't want everyone to like you. You only want the people that are your people to be drawn to you. And everyone else can do one, frankly. It doesn't matter.
What has been your truth that you've held fast to as you've moved forward and succeeded at your current business?
Okay, being yourself, obviously, we've talked about that. And second of all, this idea of doing the work. And I think a lot of people come to me and they are expecting a magic bullet. You know, they're expecting to wake up tomorrow with a $1 million business. I'm going to give them like 3 pearls of wisdom and it's going to transform everything. I mean, that's just not going to happen. You have to do the work. And yeah, I do swan around and I go to the gym and I don't work all the hours. But when I work really hard. And I've been working at this business for a long time and I'm committed to it. I don't waver. I'm focused like a laser. I know exactly what I want to do and I just work towards it kind of tirelessly-ish because obviously Netflix is there and I need to watch TV quite a lot. But there's no like jumping around and changing my mind and going, oh, I've decided to become a graphic designer. No, I'm just committed to this. I work hard at it and I just keep going. And I think it's so important to do that. And yet we don't want to believe that that's the case, do we? We want to think that you can just flick a switch or do one magical thing and it will happen overnight. And unfortunately, that is not the case. So yeah, my truth, unfortunately, is not something that's gonna transform things as if by magic. It's about commitment and hard work and just getting on with it.
You have a coaching hotline service. Can you tell a little bit about your intention in creating it and what needs do you see that that's going to fulfill for people?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this, actually. I believe that no solo business owner should be stuck. No one. Being stuck is not good. It's not fun. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. And it's totally disheartening. I think that business coaching should be available for everyone. And yet, obviously, it's expensive because it involves somebody giving you one-to-one attention. Now, I also don't believe in magic stuff, like I've said, like blueprints and formulae and all that jazz. I believe that you should have access to someone who can help you with your business when you need it, with the challenges that you are specifically facing. So I thought about this and I thought, well, how can I scale what I do? How can I deliver that level of personal attention, but without having to actually spend like an hour on the phone or on Skype with each of my clients? So I created Coachika, which is my coaching hotline service. And my intention is that it's completely affordable and it enables me to help a lot of people all in one go. And essentially, when you get stuck or you need a hand, you message me through the system and I respond within 24 hours and give you guidance on what to do next. So you never get stuck ever again. Hooray!
It's really amazing. Awesome.
That's the idea, basically, is that, you know, I just thought, why should coaching just be one-to-one? And, you know, group stuff is great. I have a group program as well. But, you know, sometimes you don't want to tell everyone about the challenges that you're facing. Sometimes it's private and you maybe don't want to admit to everybody that you're stuck on something, or you don't want to share your business secrets with a whole big group of people because it's confidential. So what do you do? Well, now you can use Coachika.
That's really awesome. Yeah, and I don't think that I've heard anybody else out there doing that. So I think that's really amazing.
Yeah, it's new. I kind of built the back end and created the concept. And I think, yeah, I've not seen anybody else doing it. So it's really exciting because it allows me to work with a lot of people at the same time and also to scale. So eventually, like when it gets so big that I can't manage all the questions, I'll bring someone in to help me. So that way I can create, you know, a little big business of my own, but also helping all my co-teachers get their businesses moving again. And I just feel like if only I'd had this in the past when I was stuck, I would have absolutely loved it. Instead, I just, you know, I battled on. I remember in one business, I used to go round and round in circles trying to make a decision, questioning myself, coming back to what I'd thought previously, you know, just, oh, what a waste of time, honestly. So yeah, being able to help people get clarity, make a quick decision, do like the difficult stuff, like put their prices up or get through that launch, you know, being able to support them through that is, it's really rewarding for me. And I just love the fact that it has such a big impact in such a kind of scalable way.
It's awesome. I do have one more question for you. Before I ask that, though, I do want to ask you a little bit about your book on how to grow a small business, increase your profits, and go global in your pajamas. Can you give just a couple of points around your book? I know that I hadn't mentioned this to you before, but I think listeners would really like to know a little bit more about your book.
Yeah. So my book, I think the thing about my book that makes it unique is that it's funny, first of all, because like we were saying, you with your smiling at work, I just feel that business doesn't necessarily need to be like so serious. Although, you know, there's serious messages in there, it can be funny too. So there's lots of funny stories in there about the things that I've been through and had to overcome and making it relatable. And I don't want to position myself like, oh my God, look at me rolling around in all my money. It's more me, a real world person with real world struggles, and this is how I've done it. And I walk you through my profit path, so the steps that you need to take to scale your business. And I talked about this earlier, this idea that you can be just you working from home or in a cafe, but you can have a global leveraged business which enables you to help loads of people and doesn't take up every hour of your day. And it makes way more money than anyone can possibly imagine when it's just you in your pajamas, you know, like on the couch with your global empire. I love that idea. So yeah, the book's really geared towards people that want to scale and people that want to learn about business in a way which is relatable and fun.
If you're able to give yourself one piece of advice when you first started out as an entrepreneur, what would it be?
I think it would be get help. Get help sooner than you imagine, maybe even sooner than you can afford. Don't try and do everything by yourself because it's foolish, and getting help is not a sign of weakness or failure. It's actually the smart thing to do. So a caveat, I'm not saying go and throw all your money at like a consultant or a coach, like millions or thousands or whatever. Don't do something stupid like that. But just if you're stuck or you can't do it or you don't know like what to do next, don't just sit there like banging your head on the desk wondering. Ask for help. Find someone who can help you. I would love to help you. There's affordable ways of doing it. I don't want anyone getting into debt or anything like that. But get the help that you need from someone who can basically shorten the path so you're not wasting 6 months trying to get somewhere that you could do in 3 weeks, you know, if you had help.
Exactly. That's really good. I want to mention to those who are listening, if you want to check out the coaching hotline, that yes. I will link that both on my website and on this podcast.
Yes. Kochika is nadiafiner.com/COACHICA. And it's on my website. And everyone can have a 72-hour trial for free. So you can test it. Because I think, you know, you like to try things before you buy. So you can have a go, see if you like it. And then, all good, I'll sort you out and we'll get you making more money in your business.
And your book, Little Me, Big Business, is nadiafiner.com/book. Thank you, Nadia, for coming on today.
You're welcome.
I can't believe the time has flown by, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful podcast today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I was really touched to hear that you've made changes in the way that you run your business too, based on our conversation. That's really good to know.
Yeah, you have definitely helped me in more ways than one. So if you're listening and you're wondering if Nadia can bring results, I would definitely check out her website and her information, because she has impacted me in a great way as well. So I want to thank everybody for listening to Thrive Radio. If you want more information about this podcast, you can go to acalltothrive.com. Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful week.